Good evening.
We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 this evening. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I have to say that I can't imagine what it is like to be whipped. And I mean really whipped. Like I got spankings for sure whenever I was little, but I have no idea what it's like to be whipped. I would imagine that it's very painful. I would imagine that it's very degrading. I would imagine that probably your stomach feels like it's twisted up whenever it's happening. But I can only imagine because I have no idea what it feels like. And so it makes it really hard to really picture some of the things that, or at least one specific thing that Paul is talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Within the context of this passage, there are those that are demeaning Paul. There are those that are doubting Paul. There are those that are doubting his apostleship. And so you can imagine the hurt that Paul feels when he is relating some of the things that he has gone through for Christ, but not just for Christ, but also for those very same people that may be doubting him now. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 16. Again, I say, let no one think me foolish. But if you do, receive me even as foolish, so that I may boast a little. What I am saying, I'm not saying as the Lord would, but as in foolishness, in this confidence of boasting. Since many boast according to the flesh, I will boast also. For you, being so wise, tolerate the foolish gladly. For you tolerate it if anyone enslaves you, anyone devours you, anyone takes advantage of you, anyone exalts himself, anyone hits you in the face. To my shame, I must say that we have been weak by comparison. But in whatever respect, anyone else is bold, I speak in foolishness, I am just as bold myself. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I am more so, in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship, through many sleepless nights and hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. And I'll stop there, but I mean, there's a whole lot to unpack there of the things that Paul has gone through. But really, what highlighted in my mind is the fact that he received those 39 lashes 5 times. Now, if 39 seems like a funny number to you, and why 39? I take us back to Deuteronomy chapter 25. We read in the Old Law this in verse 1. If there is a dispute between men and they go to court, and the judges decide their case, and they justify the righteous and condemn the wicked, then it shall be, if the wicked man deserves to be beaten, the judge shall then make him lie down and be beaten in his presence with the number of stripes according to his guilt. He may beat him 40 times, but no more, so that he does not beat him with many more stripes than these, and your brother is not degraded in your eyes. So here you have these people that are whipping Paul with this sort of pretense and being respectful to God in a sort of way. In the old law, we have presented that you can only whip someone 40 times as a punishment. So they say, well, we don't want to come close to disobeying God, so we're just going to do it 39 times. How ridiculous is that? I mean, and what they end up doing is disrespecting God, because they're disrespecting Christ, because they are disrespecting his servant and Paul. And why is Paul going through this? Is it because he wants to glorify himself? Is it because he likes to be beaten? No, he's doing so to serve Christ and to help people. 39 times. See, 39 is a large number. And as we think about that, you know, as I was thinking about that, I wonder if on the 10th whip across Paul's back, or the 15th whip across Paul's back, or the 20th whip across Paul's back, I wonder if it felt like that was ever going to end. But it did. 39 lashes is a pretty big number, but it's also a finite number. And I know this is, it's a hard thing to think about, because there was a whole lot of pain during that time and agony that I can't even think about. But there was an end to that pain. And I guess the thought that I had as I was reading through this is things do not last forever, no matter how painful they may be. And they do seem like they last forever, especially when they are troubling, especially when they are painful, especially when they continue. There are things that, I don't know, I look back in my life where I felt like they were never going to end, but it's also things that I look back on now and realize that, yeah, they did. Obviously, this is a far, far smaller thing, but we are getting over the stomach bug this week, or we had the stomach bug earlier in this week. And, you know, we just got sick, like not even a couple of weeks ago. We had all of our kids had the flu not a couple of weeks ago, and it feels like, are we ever going to get healthy, you know? And there are times where you go through sickness or whatever it may be. It's like, well, is this ever going to end? But there are also times that we look back on and say, yeah, they did come to an end. And the wonderful thing is that even when sickness doesn't end in this life, because it doesn't always do, it still doesn't last forever. Because if we are in Christ and we have that eternal home to look forward to, then we have a eternity to look forward where there is no sickness and there is no pain and there is no tears and there is none of that. Things do not last forever. And I think you can use this kind of generically and say, you know, we can apply this to the general trials of life. And I think probably it normally is. I mean, obviously, whipping is a trial, so it's a good application. And we do go through tests of our faith. And we do go through the trials of life that feel like they never end. And the good thing is that they don't last forever. But I kind of want to bring it a little bit farther away from the general. And I don't know if I'm doing that completely well, but bring it more to specific. There's going to be an end of temptation one day. And that excites me. I don't know about you. But temptation is just a daily part of life. And it just feels like there's temptation everywhere. And it just feels like there's no getting away from it. And temptation is not a small thing. These are the things that cause us to stumble. These are the things that cause us to fall. We have to constantly fight against temptation. Because if we don't, it will overcome us. It's stressful. It's tiring. It's hard. If we really care, it is hard to fight against temptation. But when the Lord says, and I'm quoting Matthew 25 and verse 34, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." That kingdom that has been prepared for us is a home without sickness, without pain, without the trials, but without temptation. James 1 and verse 13, James points out this about God. "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone." I mean, it seems simple, but we are going to be in a home prepared by a God that is not even touched by temptation. He doesn't even think about temptation. There's going to be no more being on guard. There's going to be no more stress. It's a wonderful thing. And it's a wonderful thing to hope for, and it's great that we can hope for it, but I'll give us one even better tonight. We can ask for an ease to the burden now. And that's a wonderful thing. During the Sermon on the Mount, whenever Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray, he gives them some things to pray for, and he contrasts what a meaningful prayer is versus some of the meaningless prayers that has been seen. And what we see in this prayer that Jesus offers is that, you know, the things that has meaning for God, the things that he desires us to seek him for, has a whole lot of meaning for us. Jesus says to pray like this in Matthew 6 and verse 9, or to have these things within our minds. "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And these lists of things that in this list of things that Jesus gives us to pray for, and things that we can, things that we should pray for, these things, when given a yes by God, they fulfill all of our needs within this life. I mean, we're talking about the kingdom here. We're talking about the perfect will of God. We're talking about our daily bread. You know, we need that. We're talking about forgiveness. We're talking about help. But the interesting thing that I realize as I go through this is it's also a list of things that maybe I struggle praying for. I struggle sometimes in praying for God's will because, you know, I kind of worry that it may be a little bit against what mine is. And I struggle to pray for the necessities that I have in this life. And it's mostly just because I take them for granted, honestly. I struggle sometimes to pray to be forgiven with the expectation that I forgive others. That's a hard thing. And sometimes I struggle with praying to escape from temptation and to escape from evil. And it's mostly just because I don't really think about it. Or maybe even I don't know that it really helps. But Jesus tells us to pray for these things, not so that he can ignore our requests or so that our requests can be ignored. We read in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it." And it doesn't say exactly how, but it says that he will. You know, it's one thing to know that there's going to be an end to the whippings. But, you know, if you can ask for some relief, wouldn't you? I know for certain that when we were going through our sicknesses, we asked for help and we asked for relief. It's a blessing to know that we can ask for help. But I also wanted to ask, give us something else to think about. So, to what end? You know, if you ask for the health that you wanted, whatever that degree of health may be, what would we do with it? If I had the health that I desired, what would I do with it? Would I use it to serve myself a little bit more, or would I use it to serve God? Why do we want to escape temptation or trial or whatever it is? I mean, obviously we hate sin, we don't want to mess up, but I think it should be to be better servants of God and to God. Paul was whipped not just one time, but five times. Think about that. He took his life, and he gave it to Christ, and he gave it to brethren, and to the brethren. And then that put him into some pretty hard situations that we can't even imagine. And I'm sure that Paul prayed for relief during this time. And when he received it, he did it again. He served his God again. And he served his brethren again. You only do that if that is a cause worth doing it. And Paul's cause was Christ. And that is our cause as well. Christ was whipped for us. And in fact, more than physically, he bore the weight of all of our sin. And he did that so that the things that feel like they last forever in this life, and maybe the things that we treat last forever in this life, they don't last as long as the eternal life that Christ gives us. It's a blessing to ask for strength when we are weak, but it's also an opportunity for us. Because when God does grant us that relief and he does grant us that strength, and he will strengthen us if we seek him for that, then we can use that strength to further the glory of this God that gives us strength and is our strength. And I praise God for that. That is the thoughts that I had for this evening. If you this afternoon, this evening, still have not put on this wonderful Lord that loves us and wants to help us in everything, including and especially our salvation, please come forward and be baptized.